time ago. And, you know, the vision that Brother Keyes had in starting the church was to reach people for Christ. And that's what the church has done for years and years and years here, and I'm very thankful for that. And I'm thankful for those that have been here for many of those years and have been faithful in trying to reach their friends, their neighbors, their relatives for Christ, because that's the most important thing we can do, is reach people for the Lord. I was preaching last Sunday on Thou Shalt Not Covet, which is something we very easily can do. But the reality is, we can covet all we want to of the things of this earth, but none of that stuff can we take with us. And it's only those that we have led to the Lord or have influenced toward getting saved and helped them to live for Christ. Those are the only rewards we can take with us to heaven. So those, all these other things that are here on the earth are, they can be nice to have, but in reality, they're going to perish one day. And so only those things we've done for the Lord will really make a difference for eternity. When I was thinking back about this, I was thinking about lots of good memories and some hard memories too. And, you know, I think all of us, every year we live, everything's not wonderful and good and all that. But what we hold on to, I believe, what we should hold on to are the good things. The good memories and the things that were an encouragement to us. And of those memories, one of them was this tie. And some of you recognize it, you've seen it, and I've already been complimented. Brother Brinkman said, "Wow, that's a nice tie," you know. And I said, "Well, that was from the Young at Hearts here at church." And, you know, that reminds me of the older folks and what they've done, and a huge blessing they were to us as well while we were here. And it's kind of interesting because there's a lady in one of the rest homes we do a service in New Plymouth that looks an awful lot like Gloria. And she acts like Gloria. And she smiles like Gloria. And I haven't shown her any squirrels yet because Gloria really loves squirrels once she went overseas. But I think this lady would do, she would brighten up the same way, you know. And there's just another lady there that looks a lot like Mrs. Gadd and very same spirit. And, you know, it's interesting how God helps you to not miss folks quite so much when he puts someone in your life that's very similar to the person that's gone. But, you know, there's so many folks here. I didn't even want to mention any names today because I don't want anybody to feel left out. But the fact is, so many of you are a tremendous blessing to us and great encouragement. And we can be so thankful for what God has done here through the years. And my message today is not real complicated. It's to help us to remember to be careful, because the devil is not giving up on destroying the church. The devil is doing everything he can to try to destroy the work of God all over our country, all over our world, trying to keep people from coming to know Christ as Savior. So I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to Song of Solomon. And I showed my wife what passage I was preaching from this morning. She goes, "Really? Song of Solomon? Okay, well, that's interesting." Anyway, Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. Now, Song of Solomon was obviously written regarding Solomon and one of his wives, but it also has an application toward the church, Christ and his bride. And commentators have talked about that, but there's just one verse that gives a bit of a warning. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 15. And if you'll look at that, please. He says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Now, this is just a very, very small illustration about being careful. Because here it was talking about their love and things, and how little things can come in, and little things can create problems. And those things can lead to bigger problems. Now, here in New Zealand, we don't have any foxes. So you'll have to look it up on Discovery Channel or something if you want to know what foxes are like. But we often refer to foxes as being sly as a fox or tricky as a fox or things like that. And the reality is, if you've lived in an area where there were foxes, foxes could be quite a problem. And there in Palestine, there were problems with the foxes. And one of the things they have problems with them is they dig. They're diggers. And they would dig up the vines, they would chew on the vines, and basically when they would do that, they would create problems, and so those vines would not grow, and then they would not produce fruit. And so there would be no harvest in the end. Now, here in New Zealand, because we don't have foxes, we're going to have to probably use something else in illustration. I won't carry it through my message, but I could say probably beware of the snails or the slugs, because they do the same sort of thing. They kind of destroy the vines. And I don't know if you've ever had that problem in your garden. Have you ever had problems with slugs in your garden? I have, lots of times. We got a garden going right now. And I tell you what, it's no fun to go out there and see all your new shoots chewed off by those slugs. So what do? You try to get rid of them. You try to destroy them. You try to take care of them. Well, the little foxes that were taking place back in that day, the people had to do the same thing. They had to get rid of the foxes. Because if they didn't, the foxes would destroy the vines. Now here in our church, here in Rotorua and our churches around the country, there are foxes that are trying to destroy our churches. And they're attacking and they're trying to hinder people from going on. The church here has been going for 50 years. That's great. But will it carry on for many, many more years if we don't watch out for those foxes that will come in to try to destroy? Now, I just thought of a few of these, and I'll just have a few references of Scripture to go with these. I think one that we need to be very careful of is pride. The fox of pride. Because when you think about it, 50 years, we can sit back and say, wow, 50 years, man, that's an accomplishment. It's a great goal, and it's amazing what God has done. But we have to be careful that we don't look at it and say, look at what I've done, or look at what we've done, or what our church has done, and take the credit and the glory to ourselves and puff ourselves up with pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Should we be grateful? Yes. Should we be thankful? Yes. Should we be appreciative of what God has done? Yes. Yes, yes, and more yeses. But be so very careful that we don't take that glory back to ourselves. And say, look, this is what I've done. This is, you know, this is who I've been able to influence, or who I've made a difference in their lives, or whatever. Because to be honest, we are only a really small part of it. One of the ladies who got saved here a while ago, her name was Gay, G-A-Y, Filipino lady. And you know, she's thankful because my wife was able to lead her to the Lord and all that. But the reality was, it was her father that visited from America when he got saved in a church in America. When he went over there from the Philippines to work and he got saved there, he came here and he brought her to the church and said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. Can we go in your office? Yes. So we went in the office and he's got his daughter there. He said, I'm here for 2 weeks. My daughter needs to be saved and she needs to get saved now. And it's like, what do you think about this, Gay? I'm Catholic. Well, you know, she wasn't too keen on getting saved right then, but he was adamant. She needed to be saved and needed to be saved right now. Now, he didn't save her. The Lord saved him way over in the States, in the Bronx, I think, in New York City. And then he had a burden for his family. And, you know, he realized he didn't get her saved. It was the Lord that saved her. And, you know, we get a chance to lead people to Christ. That's a wonderful thing. But it's God that does the work. We have a chance to be influenced. So don't let our pride get in front of what God does in His work. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with a well-advised there is wisdom. Folks, we need to stay humble and say, you know, as today goes on, what a blessing it is. And I'm thankful for all the other pastors that have been here before. And because they have carried on the work in the ministry. A couple here now, and Brother Key is not here, and others that were here but are gone now. And you know, all those things, we are all little cogs in a big machine that God has put together to reach this world for Christ. And we need to see that, see our part. But you know, each of those little parts is important. And we need to just be thankful for God what He's done. So don't let that little cog of pride come in and be an influence that creates a stumbling block for someone. Number two,
maybe the little fox of laziness. You say laziness? Well, yeah, that can sometimes creep in when we feel like we've accomplished. And now it's time. Oh, we've made it to this point. Now I can relax. You ever get that feeling sometimes when you do a job? You go and you get some big job and you've got that job done and now you sit back and you kind of relax. Well, that's often when the devil attacks the most. When we feel like we've accomplished something great, got something accomplished and all that, and then we say, oh, I'm going to relax and take it easy now. We let our guard down a little bit, and the devil oftentimes will attack. And we need to realize we've seen God work and do mighty things, but we just got to keep on for the Lord and keep on pushing and keep on going and keep on striving to work and to please the Lord. The tremendous illustration of that was in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. You know, one thing you see about ants is they don't seem to stop. Man, those things are going around and around and around and around and around and around now. And they have no boss. You ever notice that? They don't have someone over their back cracking the whip and saying, hey, get busy. Hey, you got to get striving away now. No, they just go and go and go and go and go. Well, folks, we need to be careful that we don't sit back and say, wow, God has blessed us so wonderfully. Let's sit back and relax and enjoy. No, there's still lots of lost people out there. Just like Brother Scott said, you know, there are lots of lost folks out there. We need to just reach them for Him. So let's not allow that little fox of laziness to creep into our lives and hinder us from doing the things God wants us to do. Number three, that little fox of bitterness. And that one is a tough one. Because if I haven't offended you yet today, I probably will. And if I haven't offended you in the past, guess what? I might do that. And if you haven't offended somebody else, you are an amazing person. Because we all have tendencies to offend people. Sometimes we don't even mean to do it at all. Sometimes it's totally accidental. Or sometimes people do mean to hurt one another. But when that happens to you, when you get hurt or something comes into your life and it's something that is a problem, you have a choice. You can forgive or you can hold on to that. But I tell you what, if you hold on to those things, that bitterness, matter of fact, Hebrews 12:15 says, look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, what would happen is this little fox of bitterness would take away the fruit of the Lord that you're trying to produce as you're reaching people for Christ, and instead would sprout up a terrible, horrible tree of bitterness that could grow up and could engulf your life. So we have to be careful. When things come into our life, we need to say, you know what, I'm not going to stress about that. I'm just going to forgive that person and just go on and serve the Lord and keep doing what's right. Because none of us are perfect. And all of us are probably at one time or another going to offend somebody. Or you, I can guarantee somebody's going to offend you at some point. Like I said, if it's not me, it's going to be somebody else. But what are you going to do with that? But you know, you can't serve the Lord the way you want to if you're bitter about stuff. And I can tell you, as I've had to deal with people through the years, I don't know how many times people will say to me, oh, yeah, well, I would be so much better if it wasn't for, and they name somebody or they name something. And I said, well, what happened? When I was 5 years old, my brother got the new bike, and I had to have his hand-me-down, and my brother always got everything. I'm like, you're 75 years old. That was 70 years ago. You're still bitter about that? What is the problem? Just forgive and go on with life, you know. Let God work in through your life. I said, you didn't see Jesus getting that way when they were beating him with the cat of nine tails and all those things. He wasn't getting bitter. He was saying, Father, forgive them. You know, what are we going to do with life? Are we going to let that little fox of bitterness come into our life and destroy the vines, the growth that we want to see in people's lives change for Him? Don't do it. Just turn your back on that. James 3:14 says, "But if ye have bitter and envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." You know, bitterness, I think, is one of those little foxes that sometimes creeps in and it gets growing before we know it. And we just got to dig those things out and keep them from creating that big issue in our life. Then, number four, losing our first love. You know, this has happened to many churches around our world today. They are no longer loving the Lord, following the Lord, and serving the Lord with their lives. They're wrapped up in all sorts of entertainment and stuff. Church is about entertainment. It's not about the Lord. It's not about His Word. That's what in Revelation 2:4 and 5. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." 1 John 2:15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." If you want to see this church carry on and abide forever, and carry on till the Lord comes back, it's going to be because we do the will of God, and we don't lose our first love. You know, I don't know. I've seen, there was times in the past where different denominational churches were preaching the gospel. But I'm seeing many of the large denominational churches, some that did preach the gospel in the past, but I see where they're at today. And you know where they are? They're dwindling. Massively dwindling. I was talking to a neighbor the other day, and the neighbor was, I told him what I do, and I'm a pastor, and I just met this guy. And talking about their church, and he said, "Oh yeah, our church we go to is, yeah, it's pretty small, and it's almost all old people. Nobody else there." And you know, I know what the problem is. They don't preach the gospel there. People aren't getting saved. Lives aren't changing. And why? Because they've focused on something other than their first love, the Lord, and their focus now on just having a fellowship time and not having the Word of God being preached. They were saying, "Oh yeah, the one service, one Sunday a month is just cafe Sunday. You know, it's only a cafe. We don't have any preaching. We just sit around and talk for, you know, the whole time." And I'm like, well, it's okay to sit around and talk and tell people about the Lord, but you need to have the Word of God preached, you know? And so we got to be careful. We don't lose our first love. And then finally, point number five, false doctrine. The little fox of false doctrine. There's so much false doctrine. Brother Brinkman mentioned the internet. You know, false doctrine is trying to destroy people's lives. And people are getting all sorts of things from the internet. And I tell you what, I believe there's far more Antichrist today than there has been in any time in history. Or at least the availability of people to the Antichrist. People that are preaching all sorts of things. And you know, a lot of them center around works-based salvation. The idea that you have to work your way to heaven. And they just go on. Or keeping the law. We've got people I've been talking with about, "Oh yeah, it's Christ is good. You need Christ, but you need to keep the law too." And I'm like, have you ever read Galatians? Galatians talks all about that. All that false doctrine is all through Galatians there. It talks about how they did the same thing way back then. And yet people today are saying, "Oh, this is new and amazing. This is tremendous. Oh, this is..." And it's like, no, it's Christ. And Christ alone. You know, folks, there are all these things. Matthew 24:24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall grow and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Folks, we need to be careful, because there are these little foxes of false doctrine and bitterness and just the
pride and laziness and losing our first love. All these little foxes are out there, and they're trying to destroy what's happened here over the last 50 years. They're trying to do that. And a lot of times, they'll be very sneaky about how they do it. You ever notice how when the devil wants to attack you, generally he doesn't come up and smack you with a cricket bat and say, "Hey, I'm the devil, I'm gonna try to destroy you right now." He doesn't do that. He's like these little foxes that creep in unaware, sneaking their way in, trying to destroy. And we all need to keep our guard up. We need to be aware, and we need to hold on to what's true. Because what will take place is if we allow those little foxes to come in to destroy the vines, then what will take place is there will be no fruit. And the church will gradually become like many of these large denominational churches are becoming. If there's no new fruit, then the people that are there, they may be faithful to what they're trying to follow, but they don't live forever. And they get old, their hair turns gray, and then they die. Now, it doesn't happen immediately once your hair turns gray. I just want to make this clear. But over years, that's what happens, okay? Mine not turning gray so much, it's just falling out. So anyway, the reality is, though, folks, if we don't see the new fruit come in and more people getting saved and more people getting saved, then people in the church just get older and older, and when they pass away, eventually the church gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and then it dies. You can drive all around our country and you can see buildings that used to be churches that are cafes. Buildings that used to be churches that are now houses. Buildings that used to be churches that are now art galleries or other things. Why? Because they lost their first love. They lost the focus. They let the little foxes come in and destroy the vines. Folks, 50 years is a tremendous milestone. What a tremendous blessing, 50 years. How will it be the next 50? Should the Lord not come back in that amount of time? Will we still be standing strong for God? Or will we allow these little foxes to come in? By the way, usually they come into the life first, our own life, and then it spreads to others. Don't let those little foxes spoil the vines. Lord, I thank you for your